We begin with a renewed push to speed up air travel on Trans-Tasman flights. Is it time, as the tourism lobby insists, to create a common border with Australia for travel purposes? And if so, what of security concerns? A report out this week, commissioned by Australia's main tourism transport group, calls for sweeping border processing reforms at Australian and New Zealand airports. These changes would potentially affect the nearly 7 million passenger journeys a year between Australia and New Zealand. The report says, and I quote, "The answer doesn't lie in continually building or expanding terminals, but rather using smarter ways of removing people from queues who don't need to be there." Proposed changes include immigration pre-clearance, integrated terminals handling both domestic and international flights, and the use of the latest screening technology to drastically reduce the time spent in queues. Qantas and Virgin have also pushed for greater streamlining of border systems, as has Air New Zealand, which has sent us this statement. "We are always interested in streamlining the airport experience to get better outcomes for our customers, and we will happily collaborate with other organisations in this space. For example, our involvement in the trial of biometric identification technology in Brisbane." The statement says, "We believe there are opportunities to better streamline the experience of frequent trans-Tasman travellers. Bottlenecks at airports could be eased with some focused work on the flow of trans-Tasman passengers who have been identified as low risk. It's pleasing to see some work in this space is already underway. For example, the Trusted Traveller Programme with New Zealand Customs." Air New Zealand declined to be interviewed on 9 to Noon this morning. But we are joined by the CEO of TTF, that's the Tourism and Transport Forum Australia, Margie Osmond. Hi, Margie.
Good morning, Lynn.
And her New Zealand counterpart, Chris Roberts, CEO of Tourism Industry Aotearoa. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Lynn.
Well, let's look first of all at this importance of the New Zealand-Australia link. A lot of travellers, of course, every year. Chris, what's the problem at the moment, or is there a problem?
It's all about the opportunity to improve the experience. So there's 47,000 flights this year across the Tasman. We can't make those planes go any faster, but what we can do to improve the experience is to improve the what happens at the airports on either side. And that's where there can still be considerable delays in the processing. And there are smart ways, using technology, being smart about how we do things, that we can improve that experience for the traveller.
Well, if the technology is there, why are we so slow bringing it in?
Well, the technology is advancing quite rapidly, and I guess there's a whole lot of agencies involved here on both sides of the Tasman. So it's the government agencies, it's the airports, the airlines, it's getting all of those together. And I think Margie and TTF have done a great job with this report, looking at all the options and then suggesting that we really need a Trans-Tasman industry working group to get together to investigate all these options and get political support, which will be necessary from both governments, and get on with this and make some improvements.
Margie, I have your report here. It starts off saying trade and travel between Australia and New Zealand are critically important, and that our two countries are intrinsically linked and increasingly integrated socially. Was that the starting point for this report? We've talked about CER over the years. That seems to ebb and flow a little bit, but we are connected so closely that something should change.
Look, I think that is the core of it, Lynn. You put your finger on it. We do need to think about the fact that we're extraordinarily close nations, and there has to be an easier and better way of doing this. I think also for both of us, sure, Chris would agree with this, we're each other's biggest markets. So at this point in time, you know, when there's so many complaints coming from people in different circumstances about having to queue and the issues associated with it if you're a very frequent traveller between the two, it's an opportunity for us to streamline airport movements across the board when things are starting to get a bit choked. It'd take 1.2 million people out of the international queues in Australia alone.
I think there was an event at Sydney Airport, some chaos there, that perhaps was also behind opening up these conversations again.
Well, look, you can't control the weather. We had a wind incident, and then unfortunately for air services, which is not really the airport's problem, their computer system had a glitch. These things happen. It's how you recover that makes the difference. But this report is actually one we've been working on now for about 6 months. So it's part of an ongoing process that says, look, technology is changing every day. We know that Customs and Immigration would happily embrace a process that looks at the people they need to worry about as opposed to the people they don't need to worry about. And I don't think it's an unrealistic outcome given that change in technology. The only thing I would say to you is, while a common border would be terrific, what we're actually proposing here amongst the options is a pre-clearance model, which takes maybe an hour out of the journey time, but just stops short of the common border, which I think will take a bit more work.
Chris, the issue here, of course, the most important issue, I know queues are a pain, is security. And that would need to be absolutely guaranteed. How could this happen under what's being discussed if things are speeding up?
Well, this should be a win-win. We should actually get improved security because the vast bulk of the passengers travelling across the Tasman are of no risk to either country. And customs and MPI, the Ministry of Primary Industries, are aware of that. And they'd like to target their resources on those travellers that do pose a risk. So through profiling, through pre-screening, you are able to let those passengers who are going to be perfectly safe through much more quickly and use those scarce resources that the government has to fund on those passengers who may be a risk. And so it should actually lead to better security, not a risk to security.
Again, in your report, Margie, something that will get passengers excited, the benefits being proposed: simplified airport experiences, tick, shorter journey times across the Tasman, yep, tick, earlier onward connections between Trans-Tasman and domestic flights, that's great. I tell you the big one, potentially lower the cost of travel. How would that work?
Well, look, I think it's about the efficiencies it creates for both airlines and airports, and somewhere in that process the feeling is that there might be a change in the price structures. Having said that, at the moment, though, the sort of departure taxes and other things that apply, make up a very large portion of the price of an airline ticket at this point in time. I mean, I think that the really critical part of this process is that we start the conversation in a very public way. There are some pilot projects underway, and I know Auckland Airport has been doing some terrific work in this space. The issue now is how we make it more of a public discussion and we bring governments and the private sector together to see how we could progress this a lot more quickly. And if that conversation doesn't happen, we won't see progress. So that's really the major stimulation behind us pushing this out. We have been talking with Chris and his organisation, so I think it's fair to say we're a bit joined at the hip on this one.
What are the benefits from the tourism perspective, Chris, if this goes through?
It all comes back in the end to that visitor experience, and that's where we're very focused as an industry. The visitor, the quality of their experience is not just in the hands of the tourism operator once they get here. It's that whole journey. And if they have a bad experience actually getting to New Zealand or a bad experience on exit, that's going to taint their memory of their time in New Zealand. So it's all part of enhancing the visitor experience. And there are definitely things that can be done in this space. Margie mentioned the work happening at Auckland Airport, and just to give you a little bit of detail about that, that's a streamlined travel trial, only at the moment involving a number of some hundreds of people, but with the potential to expand it. And they've been processed virtually with no human intervention at all. So those on that trial come through a smart gate, collect their luggage, go through another smart gate, and if they have nothing to declare, they walk out into the terminal. So straight through to technology interventions through smart gates, but no need for any human intervention in that journey through the airport. Now, that trial's working fine, as I understand it, starting off only with a few hundred, but with the ability to expand that over time and provide that sort of experience to a lot more travellers.
So, Margie, is extending this smart gate technology a big part of it?
Well, look, smart gate's part of the story, but it's also the major facial recognition technology that's now available through things called Face on the Fly. And I think one of the issues for us is that in the future design of airports, and many of them on both sides of the ditch are engaged in master planning for the future of their airports at the moment, it needs to be considered as part of the design process. How do you give a domestic-like experience separate this group of passengers while still having them within an either integrated terminal or a wholly domestic terminal. So there are some design issues around this that need to be dealt with. But I think the other part of the puzzle from our point of view is we're quite ambitious about this. If we could make this work between Australia and New Zealand, which is our critical first port of call, we think it could be a great competitive advantage for both Australia and New Zealand to potentially apply the same sort of structures and technology and process to key markets like China. And it would give us an amazing competitive advantage globally. But the critical part of the puzzle is making sure that we retain and improve the security and biosecurity provisions as part of it.
Well, see, it's the biosecurity was what I wanted to come back to, because if this is all about encouraging speed, you know, and getting people through the airport quickly and you're in a hurry, maybe you're going to be less inclined to want to join the customs queue, because that's what can really take time as well. So biosecurity absolutely can't be compromised through this?
No, and there is already technology which makes it possible to recognise the kinds of things that should or should not be in bags. So it's about how we get the discussion going about how that can be implemented, where it should be implemented. So the most important part of this will be a series of trials and pilots in hopefully the next 12 months that will come from these workshop conversations. Certainly, I say we're ambitious and eager to make that happen. And we're also doing a bit of work with the Australian-New Zealand Leadership Forum so that we've got a joint basis for this conversation and hopefully taking it into the political sphere.
Chris, what sense are you getting of government-level support? I mean, it's, you know, we're in limbo at the moment, so yes. It might take a little while to shake down, but you know, the government has, as you say, supported a project to speed things up a little bit. We've got agreement with the airlines by the sound of things, Air New Zealand, Qantas and Virgin sounding enthusiastic, and I know the tourism industry here is. But, I mean, how confident are you that, because it will take full government support, that this will happen?
Well, certainly under the previous government, we had plenty of support for improving the Trans-Tasman experience. In fact, there was some level of support for a common border, and that was really stymied by opposition by the Australian government, which wasn't too keen on that. New Zealand's also been quite keen on having a joint visa for countries like India and China, just to get one visa to visit both countries. Again, the Australian government not so keen on that idea. So in general, the New Zealand government's been pretty open to any ideas put forward about improving the Trans-Tasman journey. So I think whoever ends up holding the reins of power when things all settle down over the next few weeks, they should certainly be open to the conversation about improving that experience across the Tasman.
Getting some very interesting feedback from people, mainly concerns about biosecurity, but one listener saying, I fly often and no human intervention at the airport is not a step forward, they say. Friendly, helpful, fast people are what's needed. So you can't please everybody. Margie, Australia's done away, I think, with departure cards. How's that working?
Well, perfectly fine. I mean, because there are other ways of collecting the information that's necessary, and that does speed up the process. And something we've been asking for some time. And look, I'm all for the happy, smiling faces at the airport. I think that's a critical thing. But once again, it is about using your resources in the best and most important ways. And the best and most important uses will be about biosecurity and security. And, you know, the happy, smiling welcome is a different part of the experience within perhaps the airport and the retail environment, and goodness knows what else. So, look, I think you know, there is change already happening. This is about making sure we don't lose that momentum, pushing it to the next level and having an aspiration about what's possible and what we can achieve.
Can you see any opposition to this?
Well, look, I think Chris is right. I think the Australian government has been a little slower to come to the party on a lot of these things. So we've got a job of work to do. I think there's probably more support for the pre-clearance and on-demand model than there would be at this point in time for common border. Our argument has always been, why can't we have joint visas if it was possible to do it for things like the Cricket World Cup, when the vast bulk of the joint visas were taken up, in fact, by Chinese visitors who I'm pretty certain weren't going to cricket. You know, there is a precedent for being able to do it. And I think for both Chris and I's perspective, possibly more so from mine on this side of the ditch, it is about keeping the pressure up on government, which is another reason why this report was commissioned.
Are there broader economic benefits? Do you think we've been focusing really on tourism and the airline industry? But what about for the nation?
Well, there's certainly some improved productivity for the airports, as you read out at the start. This would help remove the need to keep building bigger and larger terminals, which need a lot of space for all those queues of people who are lining up for the next part of the processing. So we can avoid some of unnecessary cost in terms of building more terminals.
I think you're too late. An awful lot of new terminals have already been built, Chris.
Well, yes, and in some cases they're sort of catch-up mode, but I mean it certainly can help in that regard. Interesting, I found very interesting in Margie's report that the opportunities there for airlines spending less time on the ground and therefore able to make better use of those planes, because they'll be able to turn those planes around quicker and make more efficient use of those very expensive assets. So there are certainly some productivity gains to be had.
Thank you both very much. I've been talking to Chris Roberts, the CEO of the tourism industry Aotearoa, and from Tourism and Transport Forum Australia CEO Margie Osman.